I want to talk to you today about the open door. I started talking about this last Sunday, and I want to continue with this, talking about the open door to speak the mystery of Christ. And as you guys already know, every second and fourth Sunday, they're designed, I call it, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. And we are a little bit different as a church. Usually a pastor will start a teaching series and he'll go Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But after observing the pattern of Harrisburg these past few years and all of that, every time I try to do a teaching series, I would always have interruptions and everything and go in different directions. And those of you, y'all been following along, y'all know that happens. Thank you, dear. So the strategy is a bit different this year because I believe that the Lord is directing me to do it this way, that every first Sunday to have corporate prayer. I believe that's going to be extremely important for us as a church family, to always have a time set aside for prayer, just period. You know, I may do some exhorting like I did last week, but still the point is the prayer and the focus that the Lord gives us. And then on the second Sunday, to do what we're about to do now, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And then the third Sundays, we'll continue with our, that reminds me, next week is breakfast time. And on the third Sunday of each month, to continue with our having our breakfast time, to make that a family time and open up the floor for like today for asking questions and me and Carol answering. And even it doesn't have to necessarily be family, specifically marriage and relationship stuff, but whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind, to have more dialogue and talking. Do that every third Sunday, and then again on the fourth Sunday to return to equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Then roll into the next month and do it again. Start off with prayer. And that's the strategy the Lord has given us. I know that a lot of times ministries try to set aside, like to start the year with 30 days of prayer and fasting and meeting every single night of the week. And they do that in my home church and all of that. But I've noticed that here I've had to not try to do prayer necessarily always trying to concentrate it in a month or a season, but to spread it out throughout the year, throughout the whole year. So rather than saying we're going to have, 10 straight nights of everybody gathering together for prayer. Well, what if we just do 12 straight months? And start off every month with corporate prayer. So the Lord's just given us wisdom. So you're talking about praying for wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom of how to do things in our church family. Now, usually when you hear the promise about an open door, the first thing that comes to mind is all the opportunities and breakthroughs that you've been waiting for God to bring into your life. But today I want to go a little bit deeper and a little bit further than that. And before we get started, I want to give you a picture of what to expect for this year. It's a little bit of a picture of how I believe God wants to deal with us. So just watch this. This is kind of funny.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't! Try to see things my way.
Now, as ridiculous as that looks, that is how it is. This is how people are. And I just wanted to share with you today that if you want to get healed and if you want to get through the open door, then it's going to be about the nail. We live in a world and in a society where that's all people want. I want to talk about it. I want counseling about it. I just want to be able to go over it over and over and over again. But if you bring up what it really is, they're offended and they are leaving. They are leaving the church. If the pastor dare gets up and says, it's the nail in your head. Why, how dare you? Now you're being judgmental and you're bigoted, you're prejudiced and all kinds of things. If you say, no, it's the nail in your head. And so at the same time, I'm not supposed to say that. Now, as a pastor here in the 21st century, what I'm supposed to do now is to make pastoral appointments with people. And me and Carol are supposed to sit there for an hour or two while they pour their hearts out with this nail in their head. But we're not ever supposed to say it's the nail. And the nail can be anything from it's your lack of obedience. You know, it's your pride. You know, but we can't say that. Everybody in my family and the people treat me like this and they act like, but I can't say, well, if you would be kind to others, then maybe they'll be kind. No, it's not that, Pastor. You can't ever say what it is. and that really is the truth. You know, I can't say that it's unforgiveness, the reason why you're struggling. I can't say, no, you still got bitterness. But that's a perfect example of what we're up against in this day and time. Yeah. Well, let's just pray this prayer, which we always do. You know, because, I mean, it's really something, guys, how we live in this time where... you know, it's not that we're not called to listen to people, and it's not that we're not called to counsel and to pace people through their process. It's not that that's not the issue. The issue is that, I mean, even God himself, as open and wonderful as our Heavenly Father is, after we get through pouring out our hearts and telling them how we feel, you know, God's still going to use the word, the mirror of the word. Isn't that amazing? He used the mirror of the word. And so here, look at this. And so you look at yourself and you go, oh, because that's what the mirror does. I mean, that's what the word of God does. It's like a mirror. Other people can tell you. And it's something that even in the natural, we're like that. You know, if it weren't for mirrors, do you guys realize that you would never, ever know what you look like if we didn't have mirrors? If we didn't have reflection, water, and all that kind of thing, you would not even know what your eyes look like because you can't see your eyes. Your eyes see, but you can't see your eyes. You know, you can't even see the back of your head. We have blind spots, and that's what that video is about. It's about the blind spots. And when it's brought out, you got to be willing to humble yourself and say, Yeah, that's it. you know, I've noticed that, for instance, here in Harrisburg, and I know this is across the country, but I live in Harrisburg, so now I can speak about Harrisburg. Harrisburgers tend to have a goal to be in a place where I'm comfortable and where all the people are like me and they agree with me, while a pastor's goal is to have a place where that is not comfortable for you, and we all have to grow up and we have to develop an open door policy. That's why I love talking about this subject of open door. See, because we keep thinking, you have open door opportunities. Well, open door also means you got to have an open door. An open door. So the goal is not to establish a church where only people like us attend. Only people with temperaments like me, people that are the same color as me, the same culture as me. And so we'll have a tendency, or I've noticed here in Harrisburg, we have a tendency to try to search out the place and be in the place that is most comfortable for me. And if anybody comes in and around us or amongst us that's different and starts reminding us of some of those uncomfortable places and uncomfortable people that we've been around, then we have a tendency of rejecting them. I mean, there are many stories of folks here in Harrisburg, around the country, where they were treated poorly by church leadership. Rather, it was the pastor or the pastor's wife or somebody, a deacon, somebody in leadership treated them poorly. But what I've noticed time and time again is when they were placed in a position of influence or authority, then they did turn around and did the same thing to others. Certain types of people, personalities, things that come around them, then they push them away or don't speak to them and never have any dealings with them, just like they got treated. And why is that? And that's because they never developed an open door policy for themselves. They wanted others to have an open door policy with them, but they didn't want to develop an open door policy in their own heart. And so I believe that God is getting at something that's going to be very, very important for urban life. I've shared with you our vision last year about the Urban Life Family Center. Well, you got to know that the Urban Life Family Center is not the Urban Life African American Family Center. It's not the Urban Life White American Family Center. It's not the Urban Life Latino Family Center. It's not the Urban Life Asian Family Center. It's not the Urban Life East Shore Family Center. It's not the Urban Life Young Adults Only Family Center. I found this area to be one of the most divisive areas I've ever experienced in my life. Please don't take offense as I'm saying this, but I'm getting at something that I believe God wants us to be a difference. Here in this city, we've got to be a difference. We've got to make a difference. But what I've observed here in this area is people will, anything that they can find to be divided over, they will find it. I worked for the Department of Education, and one of my assignments one time took me to a school district, traveling around, taking pictures of different programs in various school districts around the state. And there was one particular area where the school district was divided by a mountain and a valley. And there was division between the people who lived up on the mountain and the folks who lived in the valley. I was like, y'all just trying to make up stuff to be divided over. Whoever heard, what? Everybody was white. It was a predominantly white community. Everybody white, everybody basically in the same economic status, and what they have to fight about. From the people who live up on the mountain versus the people that live in the valley. My God, let's just make up stuff to be divided. And so what happens is all those types of divisions and strifes and bitterness, they're like nails in people's heads. And they want to sit down and pour out all of the problems that we're having. You know, we got so many economic problems in our community and we can't ever seem to come together. Well, if somebody like me comes along and says, well, it's that nail of division that y'all got about one who lives where and all that kind of, no, that's not the problem. So God help us during this open door policy season. Come on, let's pray this like we always do. Lord, I pray that your word would find good soil in my heart. I reject the thoughts of offense. Where the light of your word exposes my mistakes, I do not take offense. I will change and turn to you, my Heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says that Jesus did not come to condemn people, This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of brothers and sisters, and this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth. God says in his word, blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see and did not see it, and to hear what I hear and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today. And Lord, our hearts are open to you today. Lord, speak to us. Do something new. Help us to really see you, Lord, in this year of the open door. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back during the month of August, you guys may remember that we went on a 31-day consecration, my wife and I, and out of that time, the Lord gave us a couple of scriptures. We were right at the brink. We really were discouraged. When I say we, I'm talking about me and Carol, our family. Had just had several things to go wrong here in this facility, you know, forced to only drop down to one Sunday a month, And we were meeting in the Whitlock's home and just real inconsistent. And what you guys didn't know, that there were times that we were told that people came looking for us. And it was one of the Sundays we was at their house. And there were, we were missing people. Folks who had probably been trying to find us for weeks or months. And then finally they decided to come and we weren't even here, you know. So it's frustrating when you hear those kinds of stories and things just not working out, along with things happening back in home. My younger brother having a second heart attack and just stuff, y'all. Just stuff. And so when you guys pray for us, and in fact, God used Sister Angie, gave us a word that, you know, God's going to give us a strategy. And so here's a couple of the scriptures that the Lord gave us during that time when Carol and I were praying together and fasting together and really seeking God for what to do. They were Revelation, third chapter, actually the seventh and the eighth verse, and Colossians fourth chapter, verses 2 and 3. And what I didn't realize at the time was that we were moving into the start of the Jewish New Year. I had forgotten that Rosh Hashanah comes in September of every year, the start of the Jewish New Year, and the significance of their calendar, of the Jewish calendar, is the prophetic impact that it has on the Christian church. So that's why that was important. So just 4 days before ending just 4 days after we ended our fast and consecration, and after getting this promise of God for an open door, because that's what those two scriptures talk about the Lord opening up a door. And in Colossians, Paul was praying and asking for an open door to speak the mystery of Christ. And what we didn't realize was just 4 days at the end of our consecration time was the start of the Jewish New Year. So we stepped into a new season. And not only was it the start of the Jewish New Year, but it was the start of our actual annual church calendar too, because actually our ministry started in September of 2004. We just didn't go public until March of 2005. So what we've been celebrating each year has been the church's anniversary, but not necessarily the ministry's anniversary. And so what's one of the things we're going to get back to? We're going to start celebrating the actual anniversary of when we actually got started, which is September. And so in March of this year, we won't do church anniversary. We're just going to wait till September, and we'll be celebrating, get this, y'all, 10 years of ministry here in Harrisburg in September. Wow. Bless the Lord. And we're still here. So we started in September 2004. And so we realized that September 2013 actually marked the end of our 9 years and the start of our 10th year here in Harrisburg. Just taking a quick look at that scripture from Revelation verses 7 and 8, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. This is what he says. He says, I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Isn't it an awesome thing for God to speak to you when you're at your most vulnerable, crushed, Lord, we ready to quit moment. God speaking says, I've set before you an open door. I know your works. I know you got a little strength. Woo, I feel like crying right now because only God could have known that. Only God could have sent us that way, brought this scripture across our path because that's exactly where we were. Little strength, ready to quit. And God says, I know it. I already know your works. I know you got a little bit of strength, but I've set before you an open door. And then the Apostle Paul actually praying and asking the church of Colossae to pray for him. And he said, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving, with all praying for us also, that God may open unto us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So what we learned was that September the 4th of 2014 marked the beginning of Rosh Hashanah of the Jewish New Year, and that we are now living in the Hebrew year 5774, which symbolizes and means the year of the open door, or a more precise meaning would be to see and walk in humility out of the tent. To see the opening and walk in humility, because when they walked out of the tent, they had to bow low, duck, to come out of the tent. And as you guys know, on August 31st, when we ended that fast and consecration time with that promise, it was pretty amazing to find out that God was being incredibly accurate and profoundly, profoundly dealing with us to say, I've given you an open door. I know your works. I've set before you an open door. And then we go right into the Jewish New Year, which happens to mean the open door. I was, thank you, Lord. Okay, we're not crazy. We're not crazy. Wow. And I sent you guys that little note, those of you who saw that on the Facebook note that I sent you that said, following God is truly the most amazing experience in the world, isn't it? It is the most amazing experience in the world. Just when you think you are floundering and going nowhere and making no progress, he'll snatch back the covers and say, see, look how far I brought you. Those are the times when after you done felt like quitting like we did and grumbled and complained, you feel kind of embarrassed in the presence of the Lord. It's like, why didn't I just trust you? I know better than that. But aren't you glad that we serve a gracious, gracious and merciful God, that he doesn't get angry with us when we come to those times where we're ready to quit and throw in the towel? He just picks us up and says, oh, I know. I understand. Thank you, Lord. I sometimes think that the Lord must have been kind of chuckling to himself as he realized that we were stumbling right at that point when he was about to reveal this incredible thing to us. So how we do as parents sometimes when we see our children getting upset or discouraged, and you're just kind of chuckling because you know that you may be planning something special for them, for their birthday or for some holiday, and they getting all sad and depressed. You just kind of, oh, I wish I could tell them now, but I don't want to spoil the surprise. And at the same time, isn't it something how you get a little bit disappointed with them when they're really behaving badly, and they don't know you had something good planned for them. They had no idea. And so I see God as a parent like that. So first of all, what Father releases, here's one of the things that we discovered about looking at these revelations and the way God brings them in the Jewish calendar. What the Father releases in any year does not expire at the close of the calendar year. So it's not like this is the year to open the door, and when 2015 comes, he closes the door. No, that's not what it means. You have to think of this as annual layers of revelation that are coming into your life. This year's revelation is building upon what God is going to release next year. And what he's releasing this year is building upon what he released to us last year. So it's not that the door is going to close when 2015 comes around or 5775. It doesn't mean that the door closed. It just means God's going to reveal the next thing that he is releasing upon you, even as doors continue to open in the following years. Isn't that good to know? So we got such a different mindset in America. We always think of things so limited. This is the year of the open door. Seize the moment now, because after, you know, when the next year comes, it's going to close. And the Jewish mindset wasn't like that. It's not like that to this day. They're thinking, this is the year of the open door. And so the open door is opening up not only for this year, but for the years to come. Wow. Come on, say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I needed to know that. Bless the Lord. Now, the second thing that we discovered was here is some of the deeper meanings that can be found in the Hebrew letter and the number that represents 74. In Hebrew, their letters and numbers are sometimes synonymous. And they read, for those who don't know, they read from right to left. We read left to right. They read right to left. So if you've ever seen a Hebrew book, the Torah or anything, you'll probably notice that it's flipped this way and they're turning the pages the opposite way from us. And that's because they read right to left. Ayin Dalet means 74 in Hebrew. Ayin means 70 and Dalet means 4. And first of all, Ayin is the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's a silent letter, and it has no translation of it in English. There's no English equivalent to this letter. And it's a letter, it's amazing. It's a silent letter, but it's always associated with some vowel. Here's the significance. It sees, but it does not speak, so it represents humility. It represents humility. The name Ayin can also mean eye, like to see, the ability to see, an eye, or it means fountain. This is important to remember as we move further into this revelation. By the way, I got this information from a posting that I saw by a woman by the name of Melissa Flores, a blog that she's created called Defining Words. And she's a staff pastor at a church called World Lighthouse in Grantsville, Maryland. And she posted all of this information to make it much easier for those of us who'll be searching for stuff like this. Now, Dalet, isn't that a great word? Dalet is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it is the number 4 in their numerology. And it's a picture of a hanging tent door. The door, or dalet, speaks of the movement of one coming from or going into a tent. So first of all, it's there to expand our definition of what the Bible or what this year means to be the year of the open door. It's not just the open door. Really, it is. It's not even about the open door for opportunities coming to us. Now, in this TBN day spring era of the church, anytime we hear words like this, open door, ooh, I'm going to get a raise, open door, I'm getting a new job, I'm finding me a house. No, that's not what he's talking about. But yet, I guarantee you that everybody that discovered this, or just about everybody on the television, TV preacher thing, the whole thing that they emphasize was the personal benefit of the open door for my life. And that's not what the scripture, and that's not what this year means at all. It doesn't mean that God won't bring opportunities, but that's not what it's talking about. Send us $74 and God will grant you an open door. No. If somebody did that, I didn't know. I was just saying that. But most likely somebody did, right? So it's speaking of somebody either coming into a tent or going out of a tent, because either way, it still requires the door. So it means to come out of, let's look at the come out aspect, to come out of a tent. The tent can be a place of limitations and confinement. So it's speaking of coming out of your limitations and your confinement, coming out of your comfort zone. So it's the year. It's the year. Wow, something that you testified about what that is. It's your year to come out of your comfort zone, out of your limitations, out of your confinement. like Mother Marilyn was talking about, dealing with these computers. It's your year to come out of. Isn't that something? See, then it makes more sense when you hear what it really means. Yes, it does mean opportunities are coming. It's not saying there won't be opportunities, but it's more about coming out of whatever's been limiting you, coming out of whatever's been confining you. Because God can give you great opportunities, but if those limits and confinements are still on you, you really won't be able to fully take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you, because you'll still be limited in here. You'll still be confined in here. Wow. Bless the Lord. Isn't that something? Aren't you glad to hear that? Come on, just receive that for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is my year of coming out of the things that confined me and that limited me, and even getting coming out of my comfort zone, my safe space. Thank you, Lord. Now, it can also mean, and this is the part I really love this one, it can also mean going into a tent. And then specifically it's talking about the going into the secret place with God, the Father, going into the tabernacle. Do you know the tabernacle is one of the synonymous names for it was the tent of meeting? So he's saying it's an open door. It's the year of the open door to come on into the tabernacle. Bless the Lord. Woo, I love it. Come on into the holy place. Come on into the holiest of holies. Because that was a place that was only reserved for the high priest could only go into the holiest of holies. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that that veil that used to separate the holy place from the holiest of holies was torn. And now we all have access. And here's the Lord saying, this is the year of access. Come on into the holiest of holies. Stop staying on the outside, living beneath what I really want to impart and give to you. One of the things the Lord spoke to one of the prophets was said, come away with me. We have great and wonderful things I want to share with you. I want to tell you. Don't you want to know God's secrets? Don't you know God's got some secret stuff he wants to share with us? In fact, his word says he don't keep his secrets from his children like that. There are things that are coming up on this world. And if you want to know sometimes why leaders in the church are a bit calm about what we're seeing happening, it's because God done already spoke. We've already read the end of the book. We don't know how it's all going to work out, but I do know that every knee going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. So right now, while the comedians are taking the Lord's name in vain and Jesus' name is a cuss word and the church is really getting ready to go through some serious persecution here in America, I don't have to be afraid. Because I know how the story ends. Thank you, Lord. But that happens when you come into the secret place. Psalm 27, verse 5, we're familiar with this, but I'll read it. It says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock. It's the year of going into the tabernacle. Psalm 91, I know we all really know this one. Psalm 91, that's probably the one that comes to your mind first. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on, y'all. It's the year of the open door. Here's the Lord said, come on into the secret. It's the year of coming into the secret place. Because it's in the secret place. That's where we're hidden. We're hidden. There's provision. There's protection. There's a prophetic flow that you start living in every day in the secret place. Just from these simple meanings alone, we can surmise that in order to step outside of the tent of confinement or to step into the tent of the secret place, in both cases, one must bow to enter or to exit. Dalet will require us to humble ourselves. The year of the open door will require that we stop trying to speak forth. I'll just tell you, this is just one of my personal things. I'm so tired of, I speak forth, I claim, we're speaking forth stuff. In fact, this week I was just kind of, It's one of those moments. Y'all know how the Lord just kind of speaks to you while you're driving along or you're working or whatever you're doing. And these thoughts come to your mind. And this thought came to my mind as I was working. I believe it's the Holy Spirit just saying, you have become a generation of arrogant adolescents, claiming promises I never made, decreeing and declaring words that did not come from me. The year of the open door is the season to shut up, listen, and obey. Quit looking for some spectacular deliverance. You know, Lord reminded me of the story from 2 Kings about Naaman, who was a commander in the Syrian army. And I had to look at this scripture. Now, Naaman, the commander of the army of King Syria, some of you know this story. He was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. And because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who was in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. Well, that ain't what the girl said. The girl ain't say the king can heal him. He said there's a prophet there. So it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So he just assumed you trying to start a fight. You know I can't heal nobody. So it just tells you that little quick thing right there. The girl said there's a prophet there that can do this. The king sends him to the king. I'm like, dude, anybody ever been in awkward situations like that? That ain't what she said. All right, that's another whole subject. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a message to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I have said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. What am I getting at? Many ways we're the same way. God will give us just some little simple thing to do. It's the year of the open door. That's what I'm talking about. It's the year of the open door. And we're waiting for God to do something spectacular. And he said, man, just go out there and dip in the Jordan. Dude gets insulted. First of all, you didn't come out here. You sent word. You didn't come see me yourself. And then you choose the dirtiest river in all of the region for me to have to dip in. Wow. Verse 13. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Wow. So it's the year of just humble ourselves. Just humble ourselves. We live here in America. American church, a lot would have been decreeing and declaring. Just go dip. I claim my hip. Just go dip. And I just heard that so clearly. This is the year to stop declaring and decreeing stuff that God ain't told you. We really have got to stop just decreeing stuff that the preacher on TV told me to decree. declare stuff that the preacher on TV told me to declare. No. Come into the secret place. Let him speak to you. I know I got tired of hitting and missing with following God until he starts showing me my pattern of just simply doing stuff that somebody else told me to do without ever going to get a revelation for myself. Do you know why? You know, and they gave great testimonies. Many of the people who I heard and received teaching from, they gave great testimonies. But often we tend to miss the point of the testimony. And so we just simply tried to do what they did, to just imitate their actions and get their same results. But here's the reason why it worked for them, because it was what God told them to do. It was what God told them to do. That's why it worked. So I can't do what God told them to do and expect it to work for me, unless God tells me to do the same thing that he told them to do. And even then, why is it working? Not because it's the same thing, but it's because it's what God told me to do. So in the year of the open door, it's time to go into the tent, into the tabernacle, to get into the holiest of holies and get a personal God told me. That's the year of the open door. Get a personal God told me. If it happens to be the same thing that he told somebody else, fine. But all I know is I'm doing it because he told me. Wow. Bless the Lord. The third thing, and this is the final one, about the year of the open door. The year of the open door is about seeing Jesus. Because as we know, Jesus said, I am the door. Isn't that awesome, y'all? He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. Ever notice that? Going in and out and find pasture. Christ is our dalet. So this year of the open door is speaking of more than just a door of opportunity to fulfill all my personal dreams and all the things I've been waiting for God to do. We believe that this is the year in which we see our Ayin, the door, Jesus, in a fresh way. Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration was so quick to speak when he had an open door moment. You remember that story of how Jesus took them up onto the mount. You find that in Matthew 17 and Mark 9 and Luke 9. And all of a sudden, he just turned bright. His clothes turned white. And they saw him talking there with Elijah and Moses. And Peter, the Bible says they were talking, and I don't know if you ever noticed this. Then the Bible says, then Peter answered and said. I love it when the Bible says, there's some key little words in there that get, he answered. Not just Peter said. No, Peter answered and said, which means they was having a conversation. And somewhere in the conversation, a question was asked. And Peter answered and said, it's good to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. And then there's this awesome moment. This cloud comes down and the voice of God, the Father, says, basically, shut up and listen. I'm paraphrasing, but you get my point. In this year of the open door, shut up and listen. I've been guilty of this myself. I have special, intimate moments with God, and I'm ready to start talking. Well, Lord, let's do this. I know what we can do now, Lord. Yeah, this is awesome. We can do this in Harrisburg, and we can do that. Shut up and listen. And even worse, we come out publicly talking about all the stuff that God showed us and said to us in our open door moments. Notice that when that experience ended, and you'll find it in all three of those accounts of the story, Jesus told them, don't say nothing until after the resurrection. Don't say nothing about what I just showed you, what you just experienced. And the Lord kind of helped me to see it this way, about how important our open door to come into the tent, into the tabernacle, into the tent of meeting moments are. He said it would be like, you know, a married couple doesn't come out of an intimate time giving the details and sharing all of that with everybody. Do they? And all the married folks say. But in a few weeks or months, they will come out and tell you the results. I just found out I'm 2 months pregnant. I just found out that we're going to have. But you don't tell the details of how that happened. You tell the results. And for too long, the body of Christ has come out. The Lord showed me this and he did that. Some of you probably been in those meetings where people come, I was alone with the Lord and he didn't. And then I laid on the floor and then he's. Then the Lord revealed this. Why? Because I believe that we live in such a time and season in the world today. That's one thing about technology, and you was right about this, Mother Marilyn. It's creating this narcissistic, all about me society. All these selfies. Everybody's taking pictures of themselves. And that word narcissist comes from a character, a Greek character by that name. And here's the story of that character. He looked at himself, his reflection, and fell in love with himself. So when you say a narcissistic society, those of you that don't know what I mean, you've got the cameras and you can point it to yourself and standing in front of a mirror so you can see your reflection back at you. So our technology is making us so self-absorbed that even when we have an intimate moment with God, we want to bring in the camera. Here's God, here's me, here's my Bible, here's me laying on the floor praying, here's me on my knees praying. Somebody take a picture of me like this. We've lost the value or the understanding of the value of private intimacy. Stuff that the world ain't even meant to know. They should only know the results. You don't have to walk them through the whole experience and everything that God is telling you and everything God has showed you. It'll come out. We're going to see the fruit of it. If you've been with God, we're going to see the fruit of it. You don't have to come out and tell nobody, I was just in a time of fasting and praying before the Lord. You know, the results will be there. And some of you, you've been around the people who they never told you. They didn't tell you where they had been with God, but you knew. Am I right, y'all? You knew they'd been with God. But they ain't never have to tell nobody. They never had to testify to nobody. I remember back in the day when we used to have testimony service, there would always be somebody that said, you know, saints, Lord, the Lord put me on a 21-day fast. And said, we didn't have to know that. Let us see the results of the 21-day fast a couple of months from now. But you don't have to proclaim it. In the year of the open door, The Lord's saying, humble yourselves. This is the way it's supposed to be in the year of the open door. He's going to call you and me into the tent. And nobody will know. In fact, Jesus told him, when you're fasting, remember? He said, wash your face. Put some oil on. Don't let nobody know. The religious folks love doing that, proclaiming. Wow. As you know, we've asked the Lord for an open door to preach the mystery of Christ. And as more is revealed about Christ, the more we're going to understand and really, help me, Lord, really, the more we're going to really understand what he's calling us into. This is an open door to accomplish not just all of our dreams, but this is an open door to accomplish the will and the purpose of God. I feel like even prophetically, in the time and season that we're living in America, this is we have a short window here. As I look at what's happening in the world economically, politically, we're talking about that, communications, currency, moving quickly to this one world system. I feel like God's given us an open door here, an open window to be intimate with him, to come out of our places of limitation and comfort zone, to win some souls, to disciple some folks. That's really what it comes down to. It's an open door. But the opportunities, now I say this last, now the opportunities that God is going to open up to us, it's going to be connected to his purpose and his will. Not just, I finally get to do what I always wanted to do. No, no. No, it's going to be connected to what he spoke to me and you in the secret place. Because what he reveals in the secret, it's going to come out and he'll make it known in the public. And we'll be so in tune with what he wants to do with my life, with what he wants to do, that all the other stuff, it really won't compare. This morning, in my daily devotional, my daily devotional is my utmost for its highest. Some of you are familiar with Oswald Chambers' devotional. And this morning's devotional is incredibly on target with this word that the Lord gave me today. And I just want to read just four places that I highlighted. It says, this is Oswald Chambers talking. The subject was, have you ever been alone with God? That's amazing. He said, Jesus doesn't take us aside and explain things to us all the time. He explains things to us as we are able to understand them. We can only be used by God after we allow him to show us the deep, hidden areas of our own character. It is astounding how ignorant we are about ourselves. We don't even recognize the envy, laziness, or pride within us when we see it. We have to get rid of the idea that we understand ourselves. Let me say that again. We have to get rid of the idea that we understand ourselves. That is always the last bit of pride to go. The only one who understands us is God. The greatest curse in our spiritual life is pride, because pride says, I know me. Whenever there is an element of pride or conceit remaining, Jesus can't teach us anything. Wow. Whenever there is any element of pride or conceit remaining, Jesus can't teach us anything. He will allow us, and I know I've experienced this, he will allow us to experience heartbreak or the disappointment we feel when our intellectual pride is wounded. He will reveal numerous places that have been affected by our desires. Many things are shown to us, often without any effect, meaning we don't change. God will show it to us and we still won't change. But when God gets us alone, those things will become clear. Wow. It will be about the nail. And I'll see the nail, not just feel it. I'll know there's a big nail stuck in my forehead. Wow, bless the Lord today. Come on, just take a moment right now. Just say, yes, Lord. Lord, I receive this. I thank you, Lord God, for speaking this. Lord, indeed, thank you for giving us a little bit of a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of the year of the open door. And Lord, we see the open door. First of all, the open door is Jesus. And we come out of our tent, out of our place of confinement, our place of limitation, even the place that's comfortable for me. I take the step to come out. And at the same time, Lord, we enter into the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. We come into the holiest of holies. Yes, Lord God. We come into the place of the lamp that is burning to eternally, the Holy Spirit, the oil. We come into the place of the showbread, the bread of life, the word of God. We come into the place where the incense burns continually in prayer and intercession. Yes, Lord God. And Lord, now we move into the next step. Coming to the holiest of holies, into your very presence. Yes, Lord. We take you up on the invitation, Lord, the year of the open door. We come in. Yes, Lord. Lord, I don't know what all of this year holds, but Lord, we know that you hold this year. I can only declare what you've given me to declare and to speak, and I do say these things over our church family, even for those that happen to be watching this online. Lord, may your will be done. Yes, Lord God, your kingdom come, your will be done in our hearts, in our homes. I thank you, Lord God, that this word finds good soil, that the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches won't be able to choke it out. Lord, we thank you that this word is not simply being received at an emotional level, that when it is tested, then there's offense because of the word. We thank you, Lord God, that the evil one cannot send demonic presences to pluck up the seeds and steal the word before it can take root, but that this word finds fertile soil, that we shall see the fruit of it in this year and in the years to come, should you tarry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Lord.